showing off some range on the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard today, connecting with Sarah Nurse, who I've admired from afar for a long time. It's International Women's Day, and it coincides with the release of the documentary film Ice Queens. We also talk a bunch of hockey with Sarah, and then we slide over to the less serious side, one of the most anticipated bobblehead releases ever, Brandon Tanev of the Seattle Kraken, featuring his ghost look. It's beautiful, it's bizarre, and it's a whole bunch of fun. We do it all on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke! Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? I'm gonna run you, I'm just waiting for my shift!
Are you one that collects bobbleheads? Do you look at them and go, ah, oh, I like that one, or if I got a hold of one, that'd be a cool little trinket. We all have our favorite collectibles in the world of sports. Bobbleheads have rocketed to the top, and the now challenge is to separate yourself from a regular bobblehead giveaway to something more unique. And that's what the Seattle Kraken have done with the Brandon Tanev giveaway, brought to you by a very large coffee chain in the Seattle area. We're going to get to Brandon, who joins us in just a little bit, talking about the Kraken season, their second in existence, and closing in on locking down a playoff spot. But I'm going to be honest, it really does center on the bobblehead and the story of the expression from Media Day in one of the goofiest pictures ever. But it's become something that is overtaken the universe. Like it's wildly known. It's gone viral, as the kids say, and now uncles and aunts say, because it's been around so long. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first up on this edition of The Chirp with Darren Millard is an amazing conversation with Sarah Nurse, one of the best hockey players in the world, a Canadian Olympian, a gold medalist both in the World Championship and the Olympic stage, the first Black woman to ever win an Olympic hockey medal. And we have this conversation on International Women's Day. So there's twofold, threefold, fourfold. It goes really deep. One, a woman. Two, a Black woman. Three, a hockey player. And into the existence of what she loves about the game today, both men and women, and how we can help grow the women's game. And that's a really important conversation about what we can do. And she has an incredible answer to that question that you may be wanting to ask, and her answer to that will be enlightening. Let's leave it at that. She was also starring in Ice Queens, a documentary directed by Kwame Mason. It's a film about resilience, perseverance. It certainly recognizes the continued efforts and valuable contributions of Black women and what they bring to hockey. It's a really good conversation, but it's real. I want you to be aware of this. And it's one that I think is so important, and we do acknowledge where I'm coming from and where she is right now. Love it. Sarah Nurse on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Let's start with the serious stuff. What does International Women's Day mean to you?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just an acknowledgement and a celebration of us as women, our accomplishments, and things that have been overlooked throughout history. I think that there has been so many inequalities when it comes to women, you know, in society, but for me, especially obviously sports. And so for me, it's just highlighting and celebrating and acknowledging that we have an impact every single day on society.
What about the documentary and Ice Queens? How did that come about?
Yeah, Kwame Mason, he is an absolutely incredible filmmaker. He did also Soul on Ice film a few years ago. And so when he approached us about doing Ice Queens, it was really a no-brainer because, again, there are so many histories of Black women and the impact that Black women have had in hockey and on hockey. And so the fact that he's able to highlight that throughout the film is pretty special.
I don't know whether this is a fair question, but do you feel like there's more progress being made just on the female side or on as a Black woman?
You know, that's a tough one because I do see baby steps being made in regards to racism in hockey and in sexism in hockey. When I think of inclusion and equality, I think the biggest thing for me is that it can't be optional. If we're talking about inclusion, you need to be inclusive of everybody, whether that is women, whether that's people of different races, abilities, sexual orientations and identities. And that's simply not optional. And so I've seen obviously there be improvements, baby steps for myself as a woman in hockey and also Black women in hockey. I would definitely love to see more, but the baby steps that have been taken have been good.
Have we broken through the glass ceiling yet, or are we still approaching it?
I think I don't really look at it as one big momentous ceiling being broke. I think that we need to celebrate those little successes that women accomplish within hockey every single day, whether it's us breaking viewership records on broadcast or females being in the broadcast, in the boardroom, in the C-suite, as coaches, as players. And I think that there are so many different collective wins and successes that can be celebrated. I don't know if there's one big momentous breaking of the glass ceiling.
I've admired you for a long time, and I've wanted to go down this path with you, but is it at all annoying, insulting? I'll put myself in the hot seat here, being asked these questions by middle-aged white male.
Okay, I love the acknowledgement one. Yeah. but
it's true. Like I'm sitting here asking these questions and I'm genuinely curious, but at the other part, I'm like, this must be annoying as hell for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I talk about almost every day, whether it is, you know, through the media, through interviews, or just with other people. And I think it gets annoying when people ask questions that they really should already know the answers to. I got asked on a national broadcast one time about what can we do to support you as a women's hockey player? And it's like, well, what do you do to support the men who play hockey as well? You watch games on TV, you support them on social media, you buy the merchandise, you buy the jerseys, you buy tickets to the games. Supporting women's hockey, women's sports is no different. And so it's questions like those really get me thinking how different we are and where we value women versus male athletes. And so it's those questions that definitely get under my skin. But again, I hope in 10, 15 years, the next young female hockey player is not going to have to answer these questions. She's going to be able to talk about hockey. She's going to be able to talk about the bad game she may have just played or the offside that she just did. She's going to be able to talk about hockey and not have to talk about societal issues.
Have you ever done an interview like this where it wasn't between periods at a national championship or a world championship where you weren't, one, talking about the game, but also selling the sport or talking about gender issues?
I don't get very many interviews where I'm just, you know, getting to talk hockey or getting to talk about a game. Even, you know, between periods or post game, there'll always be questions about the things that I do for the game or the things that I have been able to get, whether it's myself being on the NHL 23 cover. I remember like being mid-game one time and being asked about that. And I was like, there's a game going on, right? And so I don't have many interviews where I just get to talk about hockey and actually talk about the game. But I think that that's crucial, again, to changing the view of women's sports. When you interview Austin Matthews after a game, you're talking about the game. You're talking about the forecheck, the PK, the power play, whatever it is. Whereas women's sports, you're not.
How do you not roll your eyes?
Media training.
Yeah.
I've always been told to be very respectful. A lot of questions are not malicious, and I do totally understand that. And so for me, I'm not going to be one that is going to be disrespectful or clap back. That's honestly something where I'll take somebody aside afterwards and be like, hey, that may have not been an appropriate question for that time. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but it's just, you know, I want to help someone out.
Please do that with me after we're done as well, should we cross that path. On the Chell side, do you ever walk down the street or the mall and somebody yells at you? Hey, Chell.
Yeah, actually all the time now.
Yeah?
It's really funny. Cool. It's really funny, yeah. And it's honestly been the biggest thing for me is seeing the little boys, and I've spoken about this before. You don't have to tell little girls that they can play hockey. They know they are powerful. They know their value. It's the young boys who have actually come up to me and being like, oh my God, you're a professional hockey player. Like you, Trevor, like it's the same, which has been pretty cool because they're going to be able to look at the young girls who are growing up playing minor hockey now and look at them and say, oh, you can actually be a professional hockey player too. So I think that's been most impactful for me.
How's your child game?
It's not bad. Definitely room for improvement personally. But it's not bad.
Who are you? Like when you play?
I've never played by myself. The only time I have was when we did a stream, Trevor, Hillary Knight, Nasher, Cabby.
Yeah.
We're all on the stream and we played as ourselves, but I've never played as myself because I think that's just a little weird. So I played.
Oh, no, I think it'd be like, cool.
I don't know. It's just a little weird. Like It's just weird. I'm like, what am I doing out there? No, I've never played as myself.
Did you have any issues with your ranking and your rating?
No, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I was joking around because we both got our ratings last year. And so we were together and I said, as long as I'm higher than Trevor, I'm good. And I was, so it was a thumbs up for me.
Well, and I saw his between the legs goal the other night. I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, that was, he's a pretty special player and he does some pretty special things on the ice. So he's going to be one to watch for many years.
A couple of things. One, the documentary, you're sitting there, you're looking at the camera. Were you nervous?
I don't think I was nervous. I think it was just an opportunity for me to share my story and being with somebody again, like Kwame, who is able to make you feel so comfortable and really wants to get the best of you. He's never going to put you in a situation where you don't look your best, you look dumb. For me, I just saw it as an opportunity to share my story alongside, you know, Michaela and Kelsey, Kim Davis, some of the other women in the film. And so I just thought of it as an incredible privilege.
I look up to you. Who do you look up to?
Oh my goodness. You know, I think that I'm constantly inspired by different people and I'm able to take different parts of people that I see or that I interact with on a daily basis. Right now, to be completely honest, I'm very inspired by Kendall Coyne, Schofield, and also my teammate, Natalie Spooner. Kendall is pregnant right now. Natalie just came back from having her son 3-4 months ago and she's back playing. And so it just shows the power of us as women, you know, competing at the highest level while also giving birth and creating life. And so that's just, those are two people at the top of my head who I'm like, wow, today.
I had the opportunity to work with Megan Bozek a couple of times in this current season. And we were sitting in Colorado 2 weeks ago and Cale Makar was doing some drills. He was just about to come back, but he wasn't quite there. And the eyes on Megan were like saucers watching this world-class defenseman herself go through these drills. And I was thinking, I would love to have sat there with you and watched that. What do you love about Cale's game or Darnell's game, or who do you watch?
Mm-hmm. Cale's an interesting one to me because it just, everything he does seems so effortless. And mm-hmm. I guess when I look at players, especially when they're in game is one thing, but when they're practicing and when they're working on things, like that's the time to fail. And it's so interesting to see world-class athletes fail and how they react and their mental processes to help them succeed. And so when you watch some of these guys in practice footage or pregame skate, whatever it is, it's pretty intriguing just to see their processes and see how they go from not doing it correctly or not doing it maybe how they wanted to actually getting there. And I think that's the difference between like those world-class high performers and people that, you know, don't take that ultimate next step. And so I love watching things like that in games. I think my favorite thing to watch is actually players away from the puck, because that's where I think it truly separates yourself and it makes you very elite. What you can do away from the puck, how you read plays, being next play ready, thinking two plays ahead. Somebody I think who in the last few years has done that so well is, again, Austin Matthews. Just his play without the puck, the way he uses his stick and his body. And so he's somebody that I definitely watched, obviously being from Toronto in the last few years.
Do you take that kind of stuff and put it in your own game, the PHF?
I definitely try to. It's, I think, something I've worked for Sportsnet for the last 2 years, and that broadcasting hat has actually really helped me in a different way view the game and also implement these things into my own game. And so that's been a pretty cool thing to be able to do. And Yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
Status of the league and where you're at right now.
Yeah. So right now we're headed into our championship weekend with the PWHPA. We are in Anaheim, LA, Palm Springs this weekend, which is very exciting. And we're super excited because, you know, next year is going to come and we're going to have a professional hockey league. And so again, very exciting. We're very, very excited and optimistic.
You on the cusp of something here?
Definitely. Definitely. And there are going to be so many fun details that we're going to be able to share in the coming weeks and the coming months that I think is going to get a lot of people excited for women's professional hockey next year.
Ooh, anything you can tell me?
No spoiler alerts yet. No spoiler.
No? like now you've got me really intrigued.
Yeah, you're reeled. I know.
I totally bit on this. I'm not sure I can let this go. Oh, what's the timeline? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, well, we're, you know, looking into next season. We're looking to be playing hockey next season.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. when we talk about Ice Queens, wrap it up this way. How do you describe the film?
I guess I would describe the film as just raw and authentic, and the opportunity for voices who have never been heard before to have the opportunity to share. There's never been a film, there's never been many stories on Black women in hockey and understanding the impact that we've had on the game. And I think this film is going to highlight that, and not only going to inspire Black women, Black girls, but also other women, other girls, and men as well in the hockey space. So I'm excited to be able to watch with everybody tonight.
Before we let you go, I just got a text from Megan, something about your dog. You love your dog?
I do love my dog. His name's Romeo. He's not here right now. I wish he could make a cameo.
I love bringing dogs on.
He's not here right now. He's a little white, fluffy Pomeranian, 6 pounds of fluff. He's the absolute best. So we'll have to get back on so he can make a cameo.
Romeo?
Yeah, he's just not here right now.
Where does the name come from?
You know what? I had a conversation with some of my teammates about a name that you wouldn't name your child, but that you really loved. Yeah. Mine was Romeo, and now I'm realizing how terrible that is because he is my child and I love his name. So now I have a son named Romeo.
That's beautiful. Hey, you're so awesome. I've really looked forward to this for a long time, and thanks for doing it, and congratulations on everything moving forward. I can't wait to watch.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
Now, that is somebody that I could talk to all day long. More on that after we're done here on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Slide over to something a little bit on the lighter side. And this is a bobblehead release by the Seattle Kraken. But it's not just any bobblehead. It involves a role player who has a big fan following in the Kraken first 2 years of existence because of a picture that he did back with a former team. It's Brandon Tanev, and if you haven't seen his media day pictures, he has some fun with it. We get the backstory on why he has the ghost face, what's next for this, and what he thinks of the bobblehead that is different from anything else we've ever seen. Plus, this historic run, can't use the word historic enough, by the Seattle Kraken. The Vegas Golden Knights made the playoffs in their first year of existence. Before that, it was year three by the Florida Panthers that were the benchmark for all expansion teams. Seattle's right in between, doing something that is just beyond comprehension. It's awesome. And now we get to chat with Brandon about the picture and the process of the Seattle Kraken on the Chirp with Darren Millard. Let's start where the most interest is, and the bobblehead. Who came to you first about the Brandon Tanev bobblehead day?
Yeah, that was a surprise, I think, for me and for everyone. No, I think at the beginning of the year, some people in the marketing team said that they were going to do some bobbleheads, and they had chosen me to do one of them. And I think with the facial expression in my picture over the years that's grown, I think they wanted to do that. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, obviously I never thought that probably happened over my career, but it's a good way to engage in the fans and do something funny.
Who are you going to get bobbleheads for and pass them along to?
That is a long list. Family, parents, some buddies have been texting me, you know, dying laughing about it. So I'd say as much as family and friends as I can get them to. They've been texting me the past couple of days, kind of laughing at me. But I said, when you have that thing in the house, it's probably going to haunt you in your night, in your dreams.
What's the most important part of a Brandon Tanev bobblehead that that shines through to you that you want full approval of?
Well, I think the eyes are pretty funny. I think that was the main thing that they wanted to do with the bobblehead. But I think they did a great job. It's pretty spot on with my headshot that I did this year. So they definitely did a great job with it.
Okay, where did that whole PR media day facial expression come from?
So it happened my first year in Pitt, and we were taking the headshots at the start of the season, and you know, like most guys, just want to get in and out. And I think I was just dumbfounded and standing there, and the gentleman took my picture, and he's like, and I was like, "We're all good." And he's like, "You sure? Yeah, we're all good." I'm like, "Yeah, don't worry about it. We're all good." I hadn't looked at the picture, and then the next day, our media lady came up to us, and she's like, "Tans, you know, you're gonna laugh at your picture, but we submitted it." And then I looked at it, and it was obviously myself with the doomsday eyes and very surprised. So, I mean, after that, it just kind of took off, and we stuck with it ever since.
So that wasn't a purposeful look?
It wasn't. No, I was just standing there, and he took the picture and kind of just wanted to get in and out and do one shot of it. And that was the picture they had taken. So we just said, yeah, I didn't even see it. I said, that's fine. Let's just go with that.
We all went through school where you get retake day. You didn't do that?
No, to be honest, I wanted to be in and out as fast as I could. Took one picture and I said, yeah, I'm sure it looks fine. And he started laughing. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's all good. And then I walked out, and then the next day was a mass day on the media of all the pictures going viral, and you know, friends and family laughing, and it was just something that was funny. So we've stuck with it ever since.
Who loved it the most, and who like gave you grief about it? Like, get that thing fixed.
I think some of the boys and some friends definitely loved it, and then you know, I think my parents were just like, "What the hell were you doing in that picture?" And I just said, "Listen, we took one picture. I didn't know what it looked like, and that was it." And then obviously there was some spoofs and some things that were. We said, like, we saw a ghost and stuff like that. So just, you know, have some fun running with something a little different. I think, you know, when we're playing hockey, things become, you know, so serious and so traditional. And it ended up working out that, you know, it was something funny that we all could laugh at. And now it's obviously taken traction, and we've got a bobblehead to go along with it years after.
For people who don't know what that day like is at training camp, when you're going through the scenes for the scoreboard for the team and the media day pictures and the question and answers from some of the media. It is a frantic day. Can you explain to people why you would just be like wanting to get in and out?
It's definitely a long day, you know, but it's all for, you know, the organization and the team, and, you know, things can become a little tedious, you know, but you're there doing, you know, your headshots, some media production, you know, answering some questions, for the radio and in the organization, the media. So it is a long day, and there's a hierarchy to how things work, to how those things go in order. So, you know, the guys that are older and have played more games obviously get first crack at things. So you could be pushed down the line. And I think, you know, as the day progresses and longer it gets, you just want to be in and out in those situations. And, you know, with my first year in Pitt, there are some, you know, tremendous and great hockey players that are a little bit older. So, you know, I was shot down the line. So, you know, you just wanted to get in and out of there as fast as you can. And that's what happened in that situation.
Hey, do you remember what Sid said to you?
I think they all were just laughing. Like, what the heck is going on? And I mean, that's the time at the start of the pandemic, or the pandemic was finishing, and guys were just like, maybe you've seen something that we don't know about.
Will you ever take a normal picture again?
That's a good question. You know, maybe we might have to start going back to just a regular picture, but I don't know if the fans will let me do that. You know, they seem to love the picture. So we may as well roll with it for as long as we can, but maybe we'll change things up and just go with a traditional picture here soon.
I don't want the traditional picture. I want, maybe if you're going to change anything, maybe just throw a different facial expression in.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Maybe do with a mustache or something too, something a little bit, make it a little bit more funnier.
Okay, what's the deal with mustaches around the league right now? Because they're in vogue.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the guys do like to support when Movember comes around. That's obviously for a great cause. And I think, like, you know, maybe when guys shave that in and they've played well or the team's played well, they tend to keep it until things start to go differently. But I think it's awesome. It's a little bit of tradition and a little different of a look, you know, that, you know, separates maybe us from some other sports. And I think it's funny when you have some guys that can't really grow a mustache and, you know, like myself, and it just looks terrible, but you still rock it anyways. And you've got some guys around the league that have like incredible mustaches. And I think it's just an old school look and maybe a little bit of homage to, you know, past years of hockey.
A mustache that you look up to. Give me one.
Oh, wow. There is Middleton on Minnesota has a hell of a mustache. I've seen him in some videos and pictures, and that thing is really good.
I was going old school with Tom Selleck, but you know who's got a really sneaky one is Stuart Skinner from the Oilers. Like, that is straight out of Glenn Anderson from the 80s Oilers, that thing. Is there, like, how long would you have to grow one to get something to that stage?
Probably a year for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't get, you know, thick enough or nowhere near as luscious as some of those guys' mustaches around the league. I mean, Sam Bennett had an unbelievable one, yes, too, you know, in years prior. I guess those guys are blessed in that sense, but sometimes it's nice. You don't have to, you know, shave too often because nothing really grows in.
You guys are going great right now. Do you think that everybody appreciates how historic this is? Because up until 6 years ago, something like what you guys are doing never happened. Florida was the best expansion team. That was year three.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously last year wasn't a great year for the team, but it was, you know, such an important year, you know, getting the team situated, the fans, you know, getting them a little bit better with the understanding of, you know, how hockey works. And we're blessed to have such a great rink and Climate Pledge, some of the best fans in the league. You come to our building and it's incredible every single night. You know, they're rocking the energy, the momentum they bring, and we're having a great year this year. I think, you know, we've added some pieces over the summer and signed some key free agents. And I think that we all have a hunger and a desire to win. And I think that's stems with some great leadership and some older players on our team. And, you know, things have been clicking recently for us. So we want to keep that going as long as we can here.
What's the most impressive part about your hockey club to you?
I think just the depth of, you know, of our team. We don't necessarily have a superstar. I think, you know, Matty Beniers is one in the making. You know, he's come in and done an incredible job. He's going to be a great player for many years in this league, and I think we all can see that. But I think that whoever's on the ice, they go out there and they do a job. It's a win by committee mentality, and I think that's what makes us so successful.
You guys score a ton. That's the part that jumps out to me.
We do. We've been fortunate to have a lot of guys who can put the puck in the net. You know, our defense has been scoring a lot for us. As we've seen recently, we've got some high-end scorers on our team. But like I said earlier, I think, you know, you can go down every line in our depth chart and you can see guys that, you know, are able to put the puck in the net regardless of what role they're playing.
You didn't add at the deadline. Did that come as a surprise to you, or because of what you talked about earlier in building this team at the start of the season and throughout, you were capable to stand pat?
Management has done a great job in building this team and helping us be successful this year. And, you know, they thought we have the team to contend and go along and doing what we're doing. So, you know, we like our group. We have faith in our group, and we're really excited to stick with the guys that have done a great job this year and moving forward.
Okay, I've been tracking this for a while, and I've always wanted to ask you this question, and now I get the opportunity. Are you superstitious? Do you have rituals, routines?
I wouldn't say I'm superstitious. I say I'm a routine-based guy. Like, there's stuff I do, you know, at the rink every day, you know, on a game day, and like most guys do. I think you just go through your routine. I guess if you want to call it superstitious, you can say that, but I think it's more just coming to the rink and doing what you do over and over again. And I think that's, you know, part of my routine, getting to the rink and going through the process of getting myself ready to play the game. And that's the way I look at it. Some people will call it superstitious, like other guys on our team, but for me, I think it's just more of a routine.
Well, I was following your series against St. Louis, so when you were in Winnipeg, and after TV timeouts or during the course of games, you would come out and do a little bit of a lap. Have you always done that during TV timeouts? Because that was something that, for some stupid reason, I noticed, and I've always wanted to ask you.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just a good way to keep my you know, my legs maybe going out there and doing a couple sprints or tight turns. It's just something that, you know, keeps the engine going and your legs fresh. So that's something I like to do, get on the ice, and you go out there, maybe you had a tough shift the one prior. It's a good way to just kind of get yourself back ready to go on the next shift. But for me, I think it's just more to keep my legs and myself engaged in the game.
All right. So I misread that, but thanks for not calling me a stupid idiot for asking that question.
No worries.
Thanks, buddy. Congratulations on the bobblehead doll. I can't wait to see one in person.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Back-to-back conversations that lean into how hockey players can both be leaders in our community and have some fun along the way. A roundtable, though, with Brandon and Sarah should be the next thing on our agenda. I see those two just having a whole bunch of fun. Be one of the easiest interviews I could ever do. Just sit back and watch them go. I'm in Tampa, part of a 5-game road trip for my day job with the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll be back home next week for the final quarter of this season as we work our way towards single digits in the game's remaining stage. How high can Connor McDavid go? And what's next for the Boston Bruins? Historical performances happening right now in front of us, and so much in between that, including positioning for the draft lottery with Connor Bedard at the end of that rainbow. That's a huge pot of gold. Can't wait to talk to you next week on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.